Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we're going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It's a very educational and informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is extremely important and timely to our industry. Our topic is, let's talk about it, mental well-being in multifamily. I have joining me by phone two longtime multifamily industry veterans. Both are fantastic industry speakers and educators. Stephanie Anderson, the Senior Director of Communication and Social Media with Grace Hill, and Kara Rice, the Chief Communications Officer at Swift Bunny. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Well, it's always great to have you both on the show. You both bring wonderful perspectives about what's really going on in the industry across the country, as well as you bring the receipts with the facts and the figures of what's happening. And let's just talk about the mental well-being in multifamily. Is there a crisis here, Stephanie?
There's definitely a crisis, and it's not specific to multifamily housing. It's obviously happening all around us. It was definitely a problem before, but I would say that beautiful C word, COVID, that pandemic that kind of shook us all up just a little bit, that is definitely just helped elevate the mental health crisis everywhere in our country. And, you know, we're seeing it now, the fruits of that even more, and especially in multifamily, because let's be honest, it is a stressful industry. And, you know, Kara can speak to this, but we've already seen that burnout was happening and stress was happening and anxiety and depression. And now it's happening even more because of everything that's happened within our economy and our personal lives. And that's now affecting the world itself.
Yeah, Kara, what have you found?
Yeah, so thank you for asking. One of the things that I bring to this conversation here is some data, because here at Swift Bunny, this is the third year that my company has partnered with the National Apartment Association to conduct their annual mental and emotional health survey of the Apartment Association's membership. So throughout this conversation, I'll be able to give you some data that comes directly from multifamily and those organizations and individuals who chose to participate in the survey. But I thought it might be helpful also to kind of take a wider lens and share some stats from the universe that's beyond multifamily. So here's a piece of data that comes from the National Council for Mental Well-Being, and they are an organization that's also partnered with NAA to help them with their programming around mental and emotional well-being. And so according to the National Council for Mental Well-Being, it's estimated that more than 90% of employees feel their workplace has stigmas around mental health. So I find that incredibly powerful, and it ties so beautifully into our topic for today, which is let's talk about it. It's so incredibly important to be able to talk about it, because that's how we reduce the stigma. And I would say that the good news on this stat is that it's really changing. I mean, just the fact that we are having this conversation here today is a positive. I think the topic of mental health was once very taboo, but I would say in the last 3 to 5 years, in particular here in multifamily, we really have opened up the lines of communication to talk about this. And the NAA is really leading the way here, not just by conducting the survey, but by offering a lot of programming and training around this issue.
Yeah, that's extremely important. The fact that maybe it's been taboo to talk about, Stephanie, I can remember having a guest on our show, and we kind of touched on the topic that this was well over a year ago. We touched on the topic of mental health in multifamily, and his company, he's the chief operating officer of a company. At his company, they decided, mainly because of what was going on with the pandemic and the effects they saw from that, to start having conversations around the table. And what he said was is that nobody wanted to raise their hand and talk. And so he led by example and talked about some of the challenges he's had, and then the pipeline kind of opened up. What is it like to try and get these conversations started?
It is getting easier, but the work is still hard. When we first started these conversations surrounding mental health, I was still working for the National Apartment Association, and we knew that we wanted to bring this to the forefront. Of course, this was all pre-pandemic world with mm-hmm. no intentions of what was truly to come. And I remember speaking to the operations committee and saying, mental health is something that we need to start talking to our employees about. We need to start strategizing how we are going to discuss it because it was so taboo. And, John Sons and I kind of looked around the room, and we could read the room immediately and see that there were several people that were uncomfortable with even the terminology of saying mental health because it had such a negative connotation to it. And I remember feeling very anxious just having that conversation with people, and John and I having a standalone conversation afterwards, and, just coming to terms with the fact that that was problem number one, is that we had to normalize that term mental health. Because if we didn't do that, we would not get very far. We had to start using the term and using it to where people felt more comfortable having that. So we would start to say, let's get uncomfortable. Let's get comfortable being uncomfortable mm-hmm. because you could feel the tension in the room at the time with talking about it. And it wasn't because everybody felt that it wasn't important. People did. They just didn't know where to start, how to even engage their employees or their coworkers in such a conversation that was pretty controversial. And, Kara kind of brought up a little bit about the National Council for Mental Wellbeing. You know, when we were trained in mental first aid, one of the things that they talk about when they were speaking to NAA professionals was just the amount of people that are affected by mental health. And most people have no idea that the statistics are that high. You know, in the U.S. alone, almost half of all adults will experience a mental illness during their lifetime. So it's just under 50%. And then when you look at that number and then see that only 41% of those people were actually diagnosed or received any type of professional health care or counseling services or anything of that manner. So that means that people are walking around, people within our own communities that are struggling, and they don't know how to converse about it, and they don't know how to ask for help, and they don't know what resources to use. So what better time than now to start really having these conversations, using those terms, and start to develop what that looks like for your organization.
And what are some of the contributing factors to the crisis? Obviously the pandemic was something that was an event that occurred, but what other things do people run into, especially in our industry?
Residents are at an all-time high with wanting a perfect experience. They're also stressed about their own finances and the economy and inflation and all of the things that are occurring. And we were seeing that before, of course, but now there's just this heightened level of anxiety because the world is a tough place to be nowadays. And there is a lot of fear and anxiety and, also happiness, but all of these emotions are really coming into play. And unfortunately, residents are oftentimes taking out those emotions on the office staff and the maintenance staff. And what's happening is that's causing unnecessary burnout and stress for those team members. And they don't really know how to combat those feelings and those raw emotions. So that is obviously a huge problem that I think people need to think about. But outside of that, our employees also have a life outside of work, and we have to help them to deal with things. I always giggle because when I first started in the industry, Paul, I think back to we were told as leasing professionals that you must drop everything personal when you come in that door, that it now became a workplace. So whatever happened that morning, your argument with your spouse, stress from school, whatever was going on in your world, you had to drop that at the door and become this professional and put on this presentation and do your job. And now that is so unrealistic, that expectation, because people are going to have a blend of their work and life and bringing it into the workplace. So how do we help with that? That's employees that have children and families and ailing parents, their caregivers. They're dealing with awful illnesses. And there's so many things that are happening in the world, and they can't drop it when they come in the door. So how do we work together for that blend to be able to discuss mental health and help support them in the workplace?
Okay. We are going to pause here. We are going to be back after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. Happy Co. Multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to our industry. Our topic is, let's talk about it, mental well-being in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans. Both are terrific industry speakers and educators. Stephanie Anderson, the Senior Director of Communication and Social Media with Grace Hill, and Kara Rice, the Chief Communication Officer at Swift Bunny. And I would like to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, you know, we talked about in the first segment about, is there a crisis? Yes, there is. Great statistics to talk about it. But, I mean, this is obviously it doesn't affect everyone, does it?
Well, I'll jump in.
I'll giggle on that.
Yeah. Perhaps you are being sarcastic.
I was.
Yes, it absolutely does affect everyone. And I can share with you that from the data we have here at Swift Bunny, from the employee surveys we've conducted, all positions, whether they are on site at the community level or corporate office, all positions are experiencing very high stress levels right now. There are a couple of positions that jump out as being particular areas of concern, and one of them is our regional managers. Regional managers, actually 23% of them indicate that they can't typically complete their work in the time allowed. So they have more work than there are hours in the day. And community managers are not very far behind. They were at 21%. And all the other on-site roles have similar frustrations. And another one that in particular affects our maintenance team members is they say they can't take a day off because there's no one there to cover for them. So I would say that this is definitely impacting everyone. And I feel like from the feedback we've received on our surveys, there's just no question that a significant contributing factor is the staffing shortage. Mm. So nearly every workplace is limping along with inadequate staffing right now, and that's making a very heavy workload for our team members. They're burning the candle at both ends. They're exhausted. They are likely having some challenges juggling their personal responsibilities and their work responsibilities, and it's really a challenge.
And Stephanie, I know we've talked about this in the past, but really it also that kind of drives people out of our industry because they want to work someplace where they don't have those types of pressure. Are we still seeing that?
We are. And in fact, when I look on things like Facebook and LinkedIn, I often will find posts from those who are struggling to manage how they're feeling about their job, specifically in multifamily, and why they want to change industries. And so if we're not addressing this problem, we're going to continue to have turnover for those reasons. Now, of course, Tara and I will both tell you that we can't prevent everything from happening. We obviously are going to lose people. There's going to be reasons beyond our control as an industry why people will leave. But if we're not talking about ways to combat that, how are we doing things? And I think that the data that Kara just shared, I mean, it is spot on. Regional managers, they can't get their jobs done. Their portfolios are too large. They don't have enough support, and it's just not enough hours in the day. And then maintenance not being able to take a day off. I don't know a single maintenance personnel that doesn't feel like that or hasn't at some given point in time, because it is true. The weight of the world is kind of on their shoulders in a lot of ways. And these are the people that we want in our industry because they're taking pride in their position and they want to be here. But again, they need help, and we have to find those ways to support them. So absolutely, if we're not talking about this and we're not finding solutions, it's going to continue to be more prevalent.
And we've touched on it, you know, the obviously the pandemic is a contributing factor, but there I recall numbers when it comes to, for instance, the maintenance role, that there was a turnover rate across the country in the 30% area and pre-pandemic, and then after the pandemic, it's currently over 50%, if I'm not mistaken. What kind of numbers are you seeing? Kara, do you have some?
Yes. So we have definitely seen elevated turnover numbers in all on-site roles. And in addition, I can speak to responses from the mental and emotional health survey that the NAA is just wrapping up. I mentioned earlier that this is the third year that they have conducted that survey. So the 2023 results are just right now. They have been gathered and they are being studied, and the team is working on putting together a white paper of those results. So they've not yet been published. It'll be coming to you later in May. But I was able to look at some preliminary results there. And the results are concerning. It turns out that as compared to last year, overall scores on every single topic in the survey have decreased. So that indicates that employees are feeling less well and more stressed than they did a year ago. Now, it might be a little counterintuitive, Paul and Stephanie, because you might think, hey, we pulled out of this pandemic. That's getting further and further in your rearview mirror. But, you know, so you might think that folks are feeling better, but it turns out on every single topic, they are feeling less well. So it's definitely something that leaders want to dig into and find out, you know, what are the causes of those stressors and what can they do?
We've got about 5 minutes left in this segment. You know, Stephanie, you had mentioned supporting the supporters. What does that mean?
So you ever hear someone say, when your top performers, get quiet, there can be concern there, and you should be checking on them. And I think we have to reiterate the truth to that, because oftentimes those who look the happiest and help others the most are really the ones that we should be checking on. They're the ones that so much so support others, but then in turn don't get that support because people always think, well, they're doing wonderful, they're doing well. You know, of course, the world of social media doesn't exactly help or work in our favor because we're only seeing about 20% of someone's life. It's their highlight reel. And we're less likely to see when something is actually wrong versus all the happiness and greatness. So it is important to support the supporters, those who are not necessarily getting that.
You know, we've got about 3.5 minutes left in the segment, but I wanted to ask you, you know, I mean, obviously some things that people certainly don't like to talk about are people we've lost to mental health. Obviously, there's a lot of big names out there over the years, in recent years. Talk a little bit about that.
You know, I think when things have happened and it brings it to mainstream media, as devastating as it is to hear, it's really important sometimes to hear the startling numbers and to hear the people that are personally affected by it, because that is how it resonates with all of us. You know, I think back to Kate Spade and Robin Williams, and even most recently, Stephen Boss, most people know him as Twitch, who used to be on The Ellen Show. You know, I think about what they all had in common. They are all people that on the outside were happy and excited and personable. And in the end, they chose to succumb to their mental health because they had no other options. And I think that comes down to emotional health. I believe that emotional health is really our ability to give and receive love and connection and belonging. And when we do not or cannot receive that love, connection, and belonging that we need, it causes real emotional pain that greatly affects our mental health. And I think that when we see those persons that I already named, it's important to know that they were living these great lives, but ultimately their mental health could not get past all of the wonderful things in their life. And so it's important to think about that for all of us, and especially as we think about supporting the supporters, those who seem the happiest, like I mentioned, making sure that we're asking people the question, are you okay? And then actually helping them to work through their feelings.
Yeah. And you know, if someone says they're not okay, what do you do? What do you recommend they do?
You know, I really personally believe that we should be promoting the 1 in 15, be the 1 in 15. The National Council for Mental Wellbeing that we've spoken about earlier, they train on mental health first aid, and many of us through NAA were trained with that program. And think about it as if someone has passed out and you need to perform CPR. It's the same thing. You're looking for signs and symptoms from coworkers and family members. And of course, you're not going to diagnose them. You're not a medical professional, but what you are going to do is help get them the resources that they need. You're going to help triage them in those moments. And so being 1 in 15, we want for every 15 people, one of them should be able to be trained in mental health first aid to help look for these signs and symptoms.
Yeah, that is an important thing, is to be able to identify it and then know how to help them, obviously to point them in direction or to let a loved one know or whatever it might be. I know we've talked in the past about on the show about domestic violence that occurs on multifamily properties and how important it is for people in the on-site team to be able to identify that and then know what steps to take to try to let authorities know or help that person. So it is very important. But I tell you what, we're going to break it here. We are going to be right back after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. as NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We are discussing something that is especially important and timely to our industry, and our topic today is, let's talk about it, mental well-being in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans. Both are fabulous industry speakers and educators, Stephanie Anderson, the Senior Director of Communication and Social Media with Grace Hill, and Kara Rice, the Chief Communication Officer at Swift Bunny. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, don't delay, call Balanced Asset Solutions today. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. Kara, during the break, you mentioned that there was something that you wanted to share about when we were talking about supporting the supporters. So please go. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Stephanie spoke quite a bit about just because somebody, you know, appears shiny and happy, that doesn't necessarily mean they don't have something else going on. Along those same lines, I wanted to share something that I learned from Lori Snyder, who is an executive with Red Peak out of Denver. So I had the chance to hear Lori speak on the topic that we're covering here today at the Georgia Apartment Association's annual education conference. And she made such a valuable point in her presentation. It really resonated with me. She pointed out that when an employee's family member is dealing with a mental health illness, or some emotional health difficulties, such as depression, for example, that really impacts the employee as well. So their ability to be in attendance at work, to be fully present, to perform at their best is impacted when a family member is suffering. And they may have extenuating caregiving responsibilities for that person. So when we're thinking about our position as leaders and employers, we want to be able to give those people, those supporters, as much compassion as we would if their loved one were suffering from a physical illness, right? If we had an employee who had a spouse, for example, who was dealing with a cancer diagnosis, I don't think any one of us would think twice about extending some grace and some compassion to that family. And Lori makes the very valid point that we want to also extend that same compassion and care for those who are supporting their loved ones in a mental health struggle, because that can be just as demanding, perhaps even more so, and certainly more unpredictable.
Yeah, and that's extremely important because you know, as a supporter, supporting someone who's having mental health struggles, you really sometimes probably feel helpless. Because it's not it's not like going to get an antibiotic and everything clears up. It's a struggle for everyone.
That's exactly right. That's the unpredictability of it. You're not sure how long it's going to last and how much it will impact you.
Yeah. So, well, Stephanie, you know, we're talking about mental health and why it matters. What do you think employers need to know?
You know, one of the things that isn't discussed enough is benefits packages. You know, when you come to work for a company or when you've been with the company for a long time, oftentimes we are very laser focused on compensation, what we make, what we bring home and pay, because that is really important in terms of, you know, caring for ourselves, our families, paying bills and so forth. It's a necessity. But outside of that, many employees do not know that their companies offer things like employee assistance programs, EAPs, as you'll hear them termed often. And that is where a lot of times it's of no additional cost to you as an employee, whether that's counseling, someone to talk to, you know, and of course, because of the pandemic, there's so many more virtual options now than there ever were before. But there are resources out there that employees can utilize as they're going through things to ask for help. And it's all confidential, so you don't need to share with your supervisor or anybody else within your company that you want to contact one of those resources to help you. So I really do feel like we need to do a better job as taking care of our employees by letting them know about those resources. You know, obviously talking about mental health, there's still a lot of stigma and shame that as a result of that, as Kara mentioned. I think it's a fabulous example that Lori had shared. And I think it's really important that we try to remove that stigma and negativity and shame as much as possible, because that's the only way people are going to be less reluctant to talk about it and to get treatment for it. But if that's not reason alone for your company to think about why this matters and what they need to know, I love this statistic. It's $225 billion last year. That's a staggering number in and of itself, but $225 billion last year was the economic loss just from untreated mental illness and substance abuse for companies. The reason for that is because it comes from declines in work performance. So when an employee is not at their best because they are struggling with things outside of work and they are struggling with their mental well-being, it then lowers their productivity rate, which ultimately costs owners and operators bottom line dollars. So if it's not enough to do the right thing because it is the right thing, think about it from a bottom line numbers perspective. You can't argue with that. You want your employees to be their best so they can do their best, period.
Makes a lot of sense. We've got about 4 minutes left. You just mentioned the shame and stigma that comes with this mental health for a lot of people. How does that create barriers to getting help?
You know, people don't want to talk about things. It's hard for many of us to ask for help in general about anything. But now we're saying, okay, we've got to come to the table and have a conversation with someone about a topic that has stigma around it. So when you use the example that Kara gave, if the employee is having cancer or they're taking care of an ailing parent, there is a lot of compassion that comes from that. However, if you say, well, my significant other or my child or my friend is suffering from depression and I need to be there for them, oftentimes people don't know what they don't know. They don't understand what that looks like. And when we don't understand, we make assumptions about things. And that's exactly what happens. We assume that people that are depressed are just in their own space. They are in their own minds. They're not taking care of themselves. They're not getting the help that they need. And we often victim blame them because they're not doing what we feel that they should be doing to get themselves better, when in fact it's a debilitating disease that affects them from and prevents them, right? Creates those barriers for them to be able to get the help that they need. So I think it's really important that the more we talk about it, the more we normalize the terms and saying it's okay to not be okay, that then will ultimately start to decrease the amount of negativity, shame, and stigma that comes from those terms. And that's not going to happen overnight, Paul, right? I mean, Kara mm-hmm. will tell you the same. It's going to take time for those things, but these are the small steps that we can do to really take things from intention to impact.
We've got about 2 minutes left in the segment. Kara, what could you add to that?
So I think that showing that you care, even if it feels awkward and you're sort of clumsy in your conversation with your team members, it's worth doing. It can be so unbelievably helpful to somebody who is struggling So by being willing to ask people how they are doing, how their family is doing, whether there's anything they need help with, it can be such an absolute lifeline for those who do need help. So I encourage anyone who leads others to have these conversations one-on-one with those team members that report up to you. And if you are someone in a position of leadership within your organization, ask your supervisors to do the same. You know, confidential conversations in a one-on-one setting are ideal for this sort of sensitive topic. And I do have a resource that I wanted to share, Paul, if we have a moment.
Sure.
It's a brand new book that I just added to my bookshelf, mm-hmm. and it is called Where to Start, A Survival Guide to Anxiety, Depression, and Other Mental Health Challenges. And it's authored by Mental Health America. It's actually geared towards teens or young adults, and consequently, I think it's really approachable. And so if anyone is feeling like, I'd love to have these conversations, but I don't know how to do it, this might be a really helpful resource for you.
Yeah, that makes sense. And we're going to...
And I second that resource.
Oh,
Sarah shared it with me, and I ordered it off of Amazon for my audiobook, and I haven't started it yet, but I agree. I mean, definitely a great recommendation.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up. Value add conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing something that is very important and timely to our industry. Our topic today is Let's Talk About It, Mental Well-Being in Multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining my phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans. Both are awesome industry speakers and educators. Stephanie Anderson, the Senior Director of Communications and Social Media with Grace Hill, and Kara Rice, the Chief Communications Officer at Swift Bunny. And, you know, in our first three segments, we talked about, is there a crisis? Yes, there is. We talked about who it affects. We also talked about why it matters. Now let's talk about what are possible solutions. So I'll just ask the question to start with. How do you support others in the workplace, Stephanie?
You know, we covered this a little bit already with asking people if they're okay. And don't just ask to ask. You have to ask and then listen and be able to respond with intentionality based on what they're saying. Because if you're just saying, hey, how are you today, and kind of moving on, what's the point of asking to begin with? So, you know, simple things like that really do make a difference. I mentioned earlier about being the 1 in 15. You know, if it's something you're interested in getting certified for mental health first aid, I would love to share what I've learned and connect you with not only the National Council of Mental Wellbeing, who offers the training, but also NAA, who will be offering the training to more of our members this year. So I would love to be able to connect you with those resources to help you. And I did that all virtually. Mm-hmm. So if you're worried about travel or expenses in that, you know, we can try to overcome those things, because the last thing we want to do is put up additional barriers to get people the help that they need. You know, I know, again, that depression and anxiety may not seem like things that an employer should concern themselves in the weeds with, but the reality is that this mental health crisis is affecting your employees. It's not if it's affecting them, it is affecting them. It's affecting a number of them, whether you know it or not. And so you need to be able to have solutions in place to help them. You know, I talked about benefits, EAPs, the Employee Assistance Program. Some companies have things called mental health days, which is where you don't have to exhaust your PTO, but that you can actually use a mental health day to just separate yourself from your work and do whatever it is that you find fulfilling, whether that's doctor's appointments, it's going for a walk in the park, it's binge watching Netflix, it's whatever it looks like for you. It's that day to just do things that help you to feel better about yourself and to get in a better headspace. And I think that those are truly easy ways to kind of start with the conversation. One of the things that we're going to be offering this month through Grace Hill and NAA is a policy, because oftentimes when I'm talking to HR advisors and companies, they say, well, where do we start exactly? And I think a policy is a great place to start, because it starts to outline for you and your company what it looks like for mental well-being, how you stay proactive. And that way you don't fall into the reactive bucket, that you're actually proactive and then you can respond accordingly. And so it kind of gives you a baseline. And that is really exciting, because that is free to all NAA members. So you don't have to worry about being a Grace Hill customer. Of course, we would love to have you as a customer, but ultimately the policy is out there for people to utilize within their organizations to help them be better.
We've got about 9 minutes left in this segment. Let me ask, what kind of signs should somebody look for in their workforce that would indicate that there's something that needs to be identified or whatever? What should they be looking for?
Well, Paul, I can take that. One of the things that I think you can really keep an eye on is absenteeism. And I've got some data to share on that front as well that comes from the mental and emotional health study that NAA has conducted in conjunction with Swiss Bunny. So I haven't actually seen the 2023 numbers on this one yet, but for 2022, it's really quite eye-opening to see that 40% of respondents indicated that they took some time off of work due to not feeling emotionally well enough to perform their job. So 40%. And, you know, how much time they took off varies widely. It could be anywhere from a day or two to a month or longer. But most respondents indicated that they took less than a week. But these mental and emotional health challenges are a real driver of absenteeism. So if you're seeing unexplained absenteeism among your team, that could be an indication that something's going on there. And, of course, you know, that's a good business reason why you want to get involved. Stephanie mentioned earlier, you know, it's the right thing to do no matter what. But nonetheless, we can't afford to have people missing work. So it's really, really important that we address this. And I think leaders can be very proactive in trying to help their team members avoid burnout. Now, burnout is not the same thing as necessarily a mental or emotional health struggle, but it can be a contributor. And leaders have a lot of influence over whether employees are getting burned out or not by controlling the conditions that lead to it. So I think we want to be really sensitive to making sure that we are not causing a struggle for our team members or exacerbating a struggle that they may be facing by having such challenging work conditions that they are feeling completely burned out. So I think it's important to, you know, manage the workloads. That can be really tough right now with staffing shortages, but you might have to outsource, bring in some temp help to make sure that your own people are not struggling. And also opening up those lines of communication. We've talked about a great deal here today. But communicate with your team members about, you know, what you're doing about the staffing shortage, for example, what your plans are, how you're trying to fix it. But also make sure that you are listening to them as well and finding out what they need from you. And one other factor there, I think, that leaders can do is giving people some control and some flexibility over their time. That can actually be so beneficial and make people feel like they're in the driver's seat when it comes to their responsibility.
Stephanie, and those are all great indicators, but let me ask you too, when it comes specifically to a role that we talked about earlier in the episode, the regional manager role, what types of things would indicate that they are, they're in the danger zone with mental health?
Great question. If they are constantly struggling to meet their deadlines, their productivity targets, if they're not able to, and I mean, obviously there's going to be days where you can't get everything done on your list. In fact, that's pretty daily for me, but I'm talking about really struggling to make a mark on your checklist, really struggling to get things done. That is a huge factor. High turnover rate for that position. You know, really seeing that an employee even physically doesn't look as well. Those are big factors. And I'll tell you, a lot of this too goes back to the whole, let's be more proactive. We've got to stop reacting to things and we need to respond. And in order to respond, we've got to be proactive. And one of the things that I like to ask people is, when is the last time you took a lunch break? This is extremely true for regional managers, maintenance supervisors, and property staff like property managers. When is the last time you took a lunch? Oftentimes, especially when you get into those positions that are salaried, you don't have somebody saying, hey, you must clock out and take your 30-minute or hour lunch or whatever the case may be. Instead, they're choosing to say, well, I'm just going to work through lunch because I have so much to do. Well, guess what? That's going to continue to boil up and boil it up, and eventually that pot of hot water is going to explode. It's going to roll over, and we have to prevent things like that from happening. And it seems so silly, but a lot of times that's a culture internally that says, hey, if I don't take a lunch break and I work extra hard and get all of my work done and take on extra things and say yes all the time, I'm eligible for promotion. People are going to think that I'm the best employee, when that is unrealistic. It's not an expectation you want to set with your employees ever.
We've got a couple minutes left before I want to transition to something. So let's kind of wrap up the conversation. Let's talk about some of the things that are out there and available. I know that NAA is involved with mental health. Talk a little bit about that, Stephanie.
So last year they started really honing in on Mental Health Awareness Month, which is May. We are in that. So perfect timing for Paul, Kara, and myself to be having this conversation with you as our audience. Mental Health Awareness Week specifically is a week that NAA, as well as other supplier partners like Grace Hill and Swiss Bunny, are partnering together to really come up with ways to help educate those in the industry on what they can do. And the week is going to be May 22nd through the 26th. And NAA is offering all kinds of free webinars. They're going to have a free webinar for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of that week. It's going to cover things like burnout and stress management, workplace well-being, prioritizing your own mental health. So what can you do for yourself to help? They're going to give you basic mental health guides to understanding substance use, and then mental health literacy, self-care, and equity. So really important topics. And then they're going to end that week with what they're calling as a mental health action day. It is a day that is signified for rental housing industry to do something that's making an impact on mental health, whether it's mental health of yourself, those in your company, your residents, and others. And they're going to give you options leading into that or ideas of things you can do. I myself like to call it a mental health impact day. It is a day of action where you are making an impact on something out there, specifically yourselves. And I think it's going to be a great way to not only, speak, but we're really going to walk the walk, and we're going to be able to give resources to help those to actually get out there and make a difference.
How can they find out about it?
The easiest way is going to be to go to NAA's website. It's naahq.org. If you go and just put in naahq.org / mental-health-awareness-week, you can also just put in Google NAAHQ Mental Health Awareness Week. It comes right up, and there's a toolkit in there for you to use. There's a place to register for each of the webinars. Again, they're free, and then a place for you to read more about that day of action.
And this all happens just prior to Apartmentalize in Atlanta, which will be the week of the first week in June. But we've got about a minute left, so I want to give each of you a chance. I know, Stephanie, you're presenting at Apartmentalize, and Carrie, you are as well. Talk quickly about your sessions, and then also a little bit about Grace Hill and Swift Bunny and how people can reach you. Kara?
Okay, I'm going to be super fast. I want to make sure Kara has plenty of time here. I am speaking along with yourself, Paul Marks, Shakur Connor, and Lissy Daniels. We are talking about the impact of disengagement and cultivating a new employee experience. This is kind of a spinoff of updated information of what we did last year. We had just a tremendous attendance rate last year to our session, which really talked about post the Great Resignation. This really goes into talking about that employee experience, how employees are getting disengaged very easily, and really what companies can do with facing some of that self-reflection and evaluation. And we're going to give you some great tangible takeaways to re-engage your teams and yourself to really get back in there and love what you do and love the company that you work for. That is going to be on Wednesday, June 7th at 1:20 p.m. And I cannot wait to invite everyone to attend that. In addition, Grace Hill is doing a lot of things as it pertains to Mental Health Awareness Week and Mental Health Awareness Month. If you go to Grace Hill's website, type in mental health. We've got ebooks, blogs, infographics, great statistics. We actually even use some statistics from Swift Bunny, our partners, to really get the message across and get those resources that our teams need to make a difference.
All right, Kara.
Great. So I am also presenting at Apartmentalize in Atlanta on a wellness topic. And my session is titled Positive Culture and Employee Well-Being, Intentional Approaches from Effective Organizations. So this is a panel discussion led by Jonathan Osteen and also joined by Julie Blakey from Equity Residential. And we'll be talking not just about mental and emotional health, but also the physical and economic health of employees. So all of that, really plays a part in total well-being. Now, my session is also on Wednesday, June 7th, and I believe it follows your session. So hopefully I'll be able to jump into yours and learn from you guys, and then maybe you'll be able to make it into mine.
All right.
And one other thing I want to mention, Paul, of course, we've talked a bit today about our collaboration with the NAA on their 2023 Mental and Emotional Health Study. So those findings will be published later this month, and they will also be presented and showcased at Apartmentalize in Atlanta.
Perfect. Well, great to have you both on. Swift Bunny and Grace Hill, both great companies. Please reach out to them if you need their services and their offerings. But we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.